Lord, may be pleased to help me this afternoon. I again direct your minds to the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, and the 34th and the following verse. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favour of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 34 and 35. If you will remember, my poor remarks hovered this morning around the first part of our text. That is, the men, the man, the women, the child that might hear the voice of God, saying, what a blessing if we have had our ears opened to hear his voice. That is, with the power, the unction, and the light of the Holy Ghost. There's another thought that seems to strike my mind. Has he heard from us? If we have heard from God, I'm sure there's been a response. There will be a turning unto the Lord, and he has, I trust, heard from us. He speaks first, he works first. When the heart is changed a little, then there will be a prayer. And he will hear us. I trust each of us knows something of this experience. I often feel very guilt, as it were, guilt upon one's conscience, as we consider even the words of the apostle when he said, pray without ceasing. And the poetess said, if oft the breath thus vainly spent, to heaven in supplication sent, our song would oftener be, hear what the Lord hath done for me. Has he heard from us? Some poor soul may be thinking, I wish I knew how to pray. How to pray. Dear friends, it's not for the sake of a multitude of words. The feeblest prayer, if faith be there, exceeds all empty notion. If it is but a groan, if it is but a sigh, or a falling of a tear, the Lord understands. You and I are ashamed of it, but he is not. He is not. And why now is it us? How is it a tear can drop from our eyes? Because we have heard from him. That's the reason. He has dealt with us. And therefore our heart goes out in the direction where he is. And what a wonderful thing it is that God the Father has provided his dear Son for this purpose. As we all know, outside of Christ, God is a consuming fire. No way to God but through Jesus Christ, his dear beloved Son. So if we have heard from him in the way that I mentioned this morning, his voice speaking in mercy, as you've been singing, I feel I can say, without any doubt within one's heart, that you have prayed unto him, and you are numbered among this people, blessed. Blessed is the man who prayeth. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Blessed is the man that heareth me, and blessed is the man that prayeth unto God. The two go together, dear friends. Ah, some poor soul might be saying, I wish I could pray. Can you walk with the publican? God be merciful to me, a sinner. Has that language ever escaped your heart? Has it been the very feelings of your heart? As you've been so convinced of your sin, why he heareth us. You're numbered among the blessed. You're in the covenant of divine grace. Christ is on the seat in heaven by his beloved Father to hear thy supplications and thy cries. Blessed people who can speak in prayer, a prayer that ascends into heaven. Well, I mustn't dwell any longer here. Blessed is the man that heareth me. And then we come to this watching. There's a watching. Watching daily at my gates. Your thoughts may be, well, I'm taken up so much with the things in providence, the things that daily come upon me. Yes, some are lawful, some may not be lawful in the sight of God. But there's a watching when we are in a right frame of mind. What are we to watch? Well, I start at home. Oh, how much there is to watch in our own soul. Oh, how easily, dear friends, things come out of our lips. God honouring, God dishonouring. How often we've been left, as it were, to our own mind, our own thought, our own words. Well might we watch. Well might we ask the Lord to give us more grace, more humbling grace, that we might even watch ourselves, not only in our words, but also in our actions. To watch our steps before God. Oh, there's much to be watched here. And friends, some of us who have made an open profession of his name, we are watched by the people of God and watched by the world itself. But oh, how we need then to watch. Where will our text tell us? Watching daily at my gates, not at your gates, but my gates. And thinking a little of this, cause me to read those psalms. How aimable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts, my soul longeth. Watching daily, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising of thee, watching daily at my gates. Let us mention the gate of prayer, because I believe that's one of the gates our text speaks of. I will look upon two gates. First is the throne of grace, and another is His Word, watching daily at my gates. Just a few thoughts then, in watching at the Word of God, the Scripture of God, the Holy Scripture, the inspired Word of God. Isn't that a gate? A gate to enter into His Word, His truth, and be instructed thereby. I know I hinted somewhat upon these things this morning, but to watch daily, daily, pray without ceasing, enter into the house of God, watching daily at this gate, opening in the Word, opening open to find something suitable. And oh, what a gate this is, dear friends. Our text is gates. Yes, this Word will bring us, by the blessing of God, into the gates of His mercy, of His love. Bring us to the gates for understanding of His blood. This is one of the gates that will lead us into the experiences or the pathway of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a gate that is. Watching daily, opening the gates, desiring they may be opened by the Lord, that we might have a wonderful view of the Lord Jesus Christ in His pilgrimage here below. This is the gate, the Word of God. Pathway the Lord is pleased to lead His dear people. You say, but I know so little of it. True. But if we know a little, it's no small mercy. Therefore, watching daily at my gates. Watching in prayer. That's a gate, is it not? A gate. I believe you've been singing a little of the gate of mercy, the door of mercy that is opened day by day, night by night. That gate is never closed. The gate of prayer, a gate that leads to prayer, a gate that leads to the Lord Jesus Christ, a gateway that leads to this feet. His footstool, watching daily. That's the only place, dear friends, when that we are in a good place, good frame of mind, to be at His footstool, watching and praying, opening the gate of the Bible, and finding, as we are able, Jesus. In the letter of it, no, in the truth of it. In the power of it, in the sweetness of His name. No wonder the poet said, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear, soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fears. Blessed then is the man watching daily at my gates, at the gate of the Bible, and at the gate that leads to the mercy seat, the throne of grace. These are the blessings, dear friend, and they're blessings that the world and worldling knows nothing of at all. Nothing at all. But God has pronounced these blessed. Oh, will hear His voice and watch daily, watching daily at my gate. Waiting. There's a waiting. The Lord doesn't always open this gate, even of His Word, to us. Did I not speak a little this morning, sometimes the word is dry, barren. Oh, there's been times when I've opened the word, I believe, desiring to find something, and there's been nothing, and I've closed the book and said to the Lord, nothing for me. It has been so at times in the way of a text, seeking a text, turning over and over the pages, but no. Waiting, as it were, at the post of his doors for a message, for a wait. No wonder that dear man, Micah, was it not the prophet of the Lord, says, woe unto me. And the poor man was so weary and worn, he couldn't find his God. And he tells us in that wonderful chapter of his how the ripe fruit has been removed. And sometimes we look back, do we not, over a period of time and remember many who were fully ripe in the things of God, greatly blessed with grace, but they've been removed. And the poor man felt to be left alone. And isn't it so today in our measure? Those who we love for truth's sake, and those dear servants of the Lord who preach the blessed gospel, greatly blessed under the influence of the Spirit and the word blessed through them, but they've been taken. And there we feel often to mourn our condition, and in these solemn days. In fact, there is but little in our day of this experience in the decks of hearing the voice of God and watching daily at my gates. It is most manifested on the Sabbath day, is it not? Go by a seaside and you'll see not many watching at the gates of God. It's all watching the things of this life, the things that are passing, the things that are perishing, not the watching at the mercy seat to honour him and to exalt him. Waiting at the post of my doors. You have sung in your opening hymn of one, many down through the ages who wanted the cure, who waited at the post of the Lord's, even this house, and waiting for the Lord to come. Yes, that dear man who went up into the sycamore tree to see Jesus, he was one of the waiters. He is one that was waiting for a blessing. Simeon of old, as he went up into the temple, he'd been waiting for a long time at the post of the doors. He'd been waiting to hear the voice of God. He'd been waiting to see Jesus. Waiting then. Did he wait in vain? No. The babe was there, all appointed by Almighty God, the Father, that his dear beloved Son, as a babe, in the arms of his mother Mary, should be handed to Simeon, this dear old patriarch. And then his prayer was, as you know, let thy servant now depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates. We can say with this dear man Simeon, oh, how he was blessed. Blessed in taking up that babe. Dear friends, have you and I ever taken that babe, Jesus Christ, in the arms of faith? He took him in his arms. He was satisfied. He got Christ. Dear friends, if we have ever taken Jesus in the arms of faith, we shall be able to use the same language and to say the same things. Now, let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation waiting at the posts of thy doors. And then again, there's a waiting. I trust we know something of this. Waiting at the posts of his doors, the sanctuary, where we belong. What has the sanctuary been to you, to me? Has it been the very house of God? Has it been a place of feasting in spiritual things, waiting at the post of my doors? Have we ever had a real, true love to the house of God? I'm sure some of you have, if not all. I feel I can say, without boasting, God forbid it should be, that I well remember before I went out to speak that cause at Tetterden was my spiritual home. And there was a waiting at the post of my doors. And when the Lord, I trust, sent me out to preach, do you know, at times, that I could not pass that place of a Sunday morning. I had to go in other directions, to the same place as where appointed, of course, in Gates, but I could not go past that place. I found as tears rolling in my cheeks in leaving that place on the Sabbath day, waiting at the posts of my door. Excuse me speaking thus. Another little incident comes to my mind, and that's to do with Hawker's Chapel. I believe I can say I worshipped there over 50 years ago, 60 years ago, and that little court was filled on a Sunday evening. Filled. And that place was being made a Bethel to me many times. Now it's more or less empty. But there was a waiting. Late Miss West used to give me the key of that little sanctuary and asked me to go in Saturday evenings to open the ventilators, Mondays to close them. And I can tell you, not most of me, but Saturday evenings, as I poured out my heart to God in prayer for the blessings of his grace might rest upon many that should come. There was a waiting at the post of his doors. Don't say it boastingly, God, friends. Don't think so for a moment. I was humbled to think that I even possessed a key of the sanctuary. And there's a waiting at the post of the doors. Oh, if this could be more so today, Zion would be in a far more prosperous, spiritually condition. Waiting at the post of my doors. I'm sure some of you come to the sanctuary. Perhaps sometimes you come into the lobby and you say, Lord, come. May there be a word for me. May there be a promise for me. May there be a few crumbs scattered. May there be a few touches of thy love and mercy in my heart. Waiting. Dear friends, this is God honoring. God honoring. He loves to see his dear people waiting, even outwardly, that is in the means of grace or at the door, seeking his blessing or waiting for a crumb from the table. No doubt, no, we do not hesitate or doubt in any way respecting this word spoken, blessed. Oh, how blessed are these people then that hear this voice, watching continually, daily, at his gates and waiting, what for? For the blessing. You know, sometimes we have to wait a long time for what we desire. Sometimes the Lord keeps us waiting. His time is best. We often think ours is. Have I a poor waiting soul here? It comes to my mind in our dear afflicted friends. Can't come, as it were, to the sanctuary, but they've been waiting at the posts of his doors and his gates, waiting in the Word, in the Holy Scripture, waiting for the favour of God, waiting to hear from him. We don't always know what goes on in the hearts of the Lord's dear people, and even some that are near and dear to us with the ties of nature. We don't know all things. Many things, I believe, is hid from us, but they're watching daily at my gates and waiting at the post of my doors. Waiting. Have I won a poor soul been waiting at the post of the doors for maybe years to receive the full forgiveness of sin? Your thoughts may be, well, I hear one and another, they've received forgiveness, and here I am still jogging along day by day, trying to watch, trying to look, trying to pray, but no. It will come, dear friends. It will. If there's a deep desire in thy heart for these rich blessings of the gospel, they'll come. But there may be a waiting time. Still wait. Still look. Still wait in the right place at the post of his door. You can't go wrong, dear friends. The Lord may come suddenly, unexpectedly, and give you what you desire. The time of love will come when thou shalt clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but thou shalt wait. Say for me, waiting at the posts of his doors, waiting. Blessed place to wait, dear friends. It's better than waiting at the post of a place of amusement, isn't it? Waiting at this post of my doors, says Christ. We read of many in the Scripture that had to wait a long time. And not only in that we read them in the Scripture, but we know them. Many of them who've had to wait and wait and wait for our blessing. Still knocking, still waiting at the gates, still waiting at the Bible, the Word of Truth, and at the doors of the sanctuary. You will not wait in vain. And our text says, For whoso findeth me, findeth life. Now God has chosen his own people, as you've heard over and over again from this pulpit. He's chosen his own people. Whoso findeth me. Now, whoso findeth. Who are they? Oh, Holly. Every one difference, every yea poor sinner, chose of all eternity, will find life. That's our text. Whoso findeth me, findeth life. Don't think that we can find God that is in our own strength and our own ability and good behavior and self-righteousness. Far, far from it. No. Whoso findeth me, findeth life. No, the Lord, he gives life. And when that life is given, that is of a spiritual life, then the poor sinner would find him. Because there is spiritual life within that cannot do without him. You would have to cry with the poet, Jesus, save me, or I die. Jesus is the one thing needful. I, without him, perish must. Whoso findeth me. And dear friends, it's amazing sometimes. I don't know why it should be, but it does seem so to me. Amazing at times how the Lord has taken some and left others. Oh, where we see the electing love of God. All described in the 9th, I believe, chapter of Romans. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Whoso findeth me, Jacob found him, not Esau. Both of the same family. Oh, the mysterious dealings of God. How he can take one of a family and two of a city and bring them under sun and leave hundreds and thousands to perish. But whoso findeth, oh, what a favour, dear friend, to find. Well, as I said, first, he finds us. He finds us. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Not from what he do. Why, all power is and knowledge is in him. He knew where we should be born. The hymn writer speaks of it so plainly. Every place appointed by God for the birth of a child, for us, all appointed by God. Whoso findeth me. Well, the Lord Jesus came to find poor sinners, to call poor sinners, to make a way for poor sinners, to do good to poor sinners, to teach poor sinners, to wound poor sinners by his Spirit, to heal poor sinners. Well, it's all couched up in the words we quoted this morning. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Whoso, for whoso findeth me. Everyone that the Lord has in his mercy has come for in this life will be found. And they shall find him. Jesus said, I came not to call sinners, the righteous, but sinners to repentance. It's sinners, poor sinners, vile sinners, and some of the vilest that will find this life. Whoso findeth me, findeth life. Now this life, as you know, is a spiritual life. It can't be obtained but from one source. Speaking with all reverence, this life spoken of in our text is of a spiritual nature. It can only be given to them whom Christ died for, only to them who have been redeemed. Now, here's another great mystery. Some of them obtained that life before Jesus came, before he suffered, before he bled on Calvary's cross. But they found him. And we have that in the Old Testament. In the Song of Solomon, I have found him. We have a wonderful view here of the Church of God. And the Church of God crying out. In other words, the bride. Here again, it's recorded in the Song of Solomon. Of his people, the bride coming up out of the wilderness, leaning upon their beloved. And in the third chapter we read, on thy bed I sought him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. And the church says, I will now arise, and I will now arise, and go into the streets and into the broad ways. I will arise from the bed. We may look at that, dear friends, in two viewpoints. There's a bed of slope. Ease. Not a bed of exercise. Not a bed of prayer. But a bed that we lay upon at times, not entering into the gates or waiting at the post of the door. Well, this Church of God, this people couldn't find on the bed. Therefore, they arose, went into the street, into the sanctuary. Do you know anything about it? I believe those words somewhat dovetail with our text this afternoon. They rose at the bed, went into the street, into the sanctuary, open. Why, it speaks of it here. Whoso findeth me, findeth me, and shall obtain favour of the Lord. Or in another word, watching at my gates. Into the house of God, into the broad ways, thinking of the promises of the past. No God, no exercise of soul. And there the poor sinner at times journeys along, still waiting at the post of his doors, watching daily. But have I not quoted, the time of love will come? And what do we read in that fourth verse? I have found him, O my soul loveth. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, given by the Lord. It's really this, a spark of grace, a spark of spiritual life from heaven, not from the earth, from heaven, dropped into the heart, into the soul. Simple as that, dear friends. That's not of man, is it? No earthly man can give you the spark or grace from heaven. It must come through Jesus. And the Lord Jesus is pleased to use by his Holy Spirit the spark of his grace to drop into one's heart. And there's life. Spiritual life within the soul. From that very moment, there's a turning. From that very moment, life in the soul will make us feel that what we are in the sight of God, in some measure, as a sinner. And so the Lord works mysteriously, yet most blessedly. Whoso findeth me, findeth. Now, what will flow out of that life? That life will cause our whole body and every, I've got to say, joint within the body to turn in another direction from what it is walking and experiences briefly. Findeth life. There's a turning, dear friends, in our heart. Here again I go to the prophecy of Ezekiel. I will give a new spirit, a new heart. Remove the hard heart of stone and give thee heart of flesh. When this spark is given, life is given within the soul. And there's a turning now unto the Lord. Leaving the broad way, compelled to do it. Leaving the broad way and entering into the narrow. That spark will give light. That spark will give a tenderness of spirit. That spark of life will turn our all course. And there will be an hungering for things that we've never hungered for before. And there will be a seeking within our heart for things that we've never sought for before. Heavenly nature, heavenly blessing. Whoso findeth me, findeth life. And that life is eternal, everlasting. I've said at times, when we come to depart, that is by death, that life in the soul will return to the giver. Spiritual life can't be lost. The whole carnal nature that will, and we would thank God it is so. No wonder the apostle said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? That's what he wanted to get rid of. The body of sin and death, but the spark, spiritual life within the soul. That's placed there begot by God, and that will return unto God. At least I believe so. In the soul that it is planted. Nothing that God has given in a spiritual way can be lost otherwise. Can't be buried, can't be forgotten. It's the gift of God, and it will return unto the giver. Whoso findeth thee, findeth life. Now, as this life is eternal, it's a life throughout a never-ending eternity. It's a life in heaven. No sin. Pure life. Blessed life. The thing is praises. Whoso findeth me, findeth life. And at the closing of our text, it says, and shall obtain, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. The latter part of this text and the first word in it dovetails together. Blessed. Now, what are the favors of the Lord? They shall, just bear in mind, they shall, it's the promise of God. God's promise. And they shall obtain favor of the Lord. Blessed is the man. Well, dear friends, if we've had a little view of the Lord Jesus Christ as he's traveled along through his pilgrimage here and realized what he went through was for our soul through the path of salvation, in that work of salvation, for our good, for our eternal life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Oh, what a favor to be in the covenant. What a favor to have our name in heaven. What a favor it is to have the blessing of God, What a favour it is to be in the first clause. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Blessed people. I cannot describe the blessedness of it. I come here, dear friends, dumb as it were, to describe the favours of God. We can speak of a few of the favours. Why was I made to hear his voice and enter the walls of the room? Oh, what a favour. What a favour to be wrought upon by the Spirit. And oh, what a favour that one is stood in our room, place, and stead. What a favour that one has borne our sins in his own body. Borne them in his own soul. That we might go for it. Isn't it a favour? Isn't it one of the favours, friends, that we shall, I trust, praise him for throughout a never-ending eternity? Blessed man, blessed woman, who knows these favours of the Lord. For they are everlasting, eternal. The poor worldling, where will he go? The poor souls that have not heard his voice, nor watched at the gates, never been to the word of God to find mercy. Know nothing knocking at the door of mercy, nor waiting the post of his doors. What will be the outcome of that? Well, we have it in the last verse, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. I think that's very manifest every day of the week. They that hate the Lord. And to hate the Lord is to hate his word, and hate his truth, and hate even the house of God. They love death. Oh, what a solemn thought to be lost. And to only hear his voice in wrath, not in mercy, but in wrath. Dear friends, what a favour. What a favour. No wonder David prayed, remember me with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. May it be our lot to be remembered of God. If we know anything of his voice, we have been remembered. And oh, what a mercy if we are found with them above. All those whom Christ died for and shed his blood forever, and what a favour it is to have a fountain. A fountain to be drawn to and to be cleansed from all our sins. Sins of the past, sins of the present day, and that blood will cover the sins yet to come. Blessed gospel, full gospel, nothing left undone for these dear people whom the Lord has loved with an everlasting love. Depending upon the help of God, I would direct your minds this morning